From the book of Luke, first chapter. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou virgin, who art highly favored of the Lord. The Lord is with thee, for thou art chosen and blessed among women. And when she saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and pondered in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How can this be? How can this be, Mary said. You know, through the ages, how many times have we said, How can this be? This seems impossible to us. It just can't happen. I don't know where this is coming from, and I don't know how it's going to be solved. And the scriptures are full of scoffers and those who deny or question the power of our God. There are many wonderful major events in the lives of those we find in the scriptures. And they all have one thing in common. They all involve God. God is always involved with all those major events that we single out as having great meaning. Of course, the greatest of these is the birth of our Lord and Savior. And maybe second is the story of Noah. And now that may sound strange to you. But from that, only 8 people were selected to live. And when we think sometimes about our size and having been involved for 15 years with a group back in Indiana, I can tell you that size sometimes is a handicap, but it doesn't stop the process and it doesn't prevent us from worshiping. And it doesn't keep us from witnessing to one another. God was involved, and God is involved. On our visit to a little town in Kentucky called Williamstown, Kentucky, they have built something there that's quite amazing. And if you never have seen this, you need to go see this. And the reason that we went there, it was pretty much on me the most, and Jackie was interested, but I think I was really excited about it because there in Williamstown, these people built an exact replica of the Ark, as according as it is given in the Bible. All the measurements, exactly the same. I wanted to see that. And I can tell you from the moment that that bus came over that rise and you could actually see that, it was overwhelming. And it was spiritual. And I felt that. And I stood next to it and I looked at it. And yes, there were modern conveniences that helped them build that reproduction. Which again makes it even more amazing to see that that size could have been done with what little they had. And what little they knew about building a ship. It goes to the fact that God has a plan, and we cannot change it. Whatever that plan is, we can walk around it, we can stall, we can do whatever we want to do, but that plan is not going to change. He's going forward with it, and we can come along, or we can drag our feet, but it's still there. And it's still going to happen because he's in it. And he has a place for you in that plan. Now, when we look around the room, you can't see what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing all these different people. And each one of you is uniquely different. Why did God do that? He could have made us all pretty much the same. But that wouldn't have been part of his plan. He made us all different. And if we go out into Kansas City and gather up whatever that is, 1.5 million or almost 2 million people, every one of them will be different. God's creation is a wonder. And it's because he's in it that it is a wonder. And we say to ourselves, as Mary said, how can this be that he would do this? How could this be? This past week, on Wednesday at CPRS, the Center Place School, we had a guest, and he is one of the remaining patriarchs in the church, Mike Ballantyne. And Mike came to talk to the three grade levels. And I've been working there almost 4 years now, and I have never in any chapel seen a spiritual quality like I saw in the moments that he spoke to the high school students. It was amazing. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. They have the chapels broke down into three levels, elementary, middle school, and high school. Now, the elementary kids, when you ask a question, every hand goes up. They may not even know what the question was, and they certainly probably don't have an answer. And if you point to them, they're going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. The middle school are pretty good. And once you get the ball rolling with them, they're pretty involved. The high school kids, a large bomb in the room could not wake them up. They just sit there. They're the prototype of Wednesday night prayer services. But they still have that aura about them. I've seen it. And on this occasion, he was expressing to them the urgency of the moment and about their blessings. And I've never seen this happen. When he stopped speaking and the closing prayer was given, kids gathered around him. I've never seen that before. I've never seen that. And while they were gathered, a young boy came down. I think he's a junior this year. He came down. He walked right in the midst of them and grabbed Mike and hugged him. And he hugged him, and he hugged him. For about 3 minutes, he hugged him, and he couldn't let him go. And it was an overwhelming experience. Things were happening in that moment, and the young people were listening to Mike, and they knew that if anything was to happen to Vernon, one of our other patriarchs, that they may be finding themselves in a difficult position to get their blessing. And they want that blessing. The urgency was there. And they responded. And I said to myself as I looked at that, how can this be? These kids are just amazing. And they have hearts that are just pounding within them with love for themselves, where they are, love for their family, love for their church. They're wonderful kids. Jackie and I were on a little trip for 2 weeks. We covered about 3,500 miles, mostly out in the eastern states. And I will tell you, we visited every church site that was of any note in those states. And we started, of course, with Kirtland. Now, I want to tell you, there were a lot of miracles that happened. I called them miracles because we hadn't been inside of the temple in Kirtland for a long time, and we pulled up, and the place was closed on Monday when we got there. And all of a sudden, this car pulled up, and this guy got out and said, you want to take a tour? What? So he was a maintenance man, and he took us for a tour, and he knew a lot. Nice young man. And I thought, and Jackie and I talked about this, wasn't that incredible? That we would have just had to turn and out of the parking lot and go on our way because we weren't getting in. But we did. And we visited other places throughout the states. We went from there over to where Kirtland City was, where the where the store is and some of the homes that are built there that were there reproduced, of course. And the Mormons have that property, and they've done a wonderful job with it. And from there we left, and we went up into New York, and we went to Palmyra. And a lovely lady at the bookstore there in Palmyra, of course, this is owned and operated by the Mormon Church also, she was just really nice. And she gave us a tour of the whole building, and she told us a lot of things that weren't, frankly, told probably to a lot of people because she didn't have time. We were the only ones there. And she just showed us all kinds of things. And one of the most inspiring things that I saw was one of the original 5,000 copies of the Book of Mormon that was printed. And it was going to be almost impossible for that to happen, and it did happen right during and before the church was organized in 1830. We went to a lot of different places, a lot of different sites, Hill Cumorah being another, which is quite an amazing place. And we really enjoyed our journeys and those sites and had met some really, truly wonderful people. You know, the establishment of the church in 1830 was a major event. A major event. Because it involved the things that God wanted to have happen at that time. He was involved in that. And how could it have survived all these years? I want you to think about something for just a few moments, those of you who are members of the church. That there is no other church that has these sites where these things happened, things like this happened. And I thought about that for a while. Where is the site for this church or that church or that? They don't have anything like that. And I'm thinking, why is it that way? Because God is in it. God was in it. He is in it now. And whenever we begin to worry about our size, I want you to think about those eight on the ark. Pretty small group. And I want you to think about other folks that are out there that are isolated from us now because they're so far away and they can't even get to a church. They haven't had communion, some of them, for years. But they're out there, and you hear about them every once in a while. How blessed you are because of what we have here. With some of the problems that have been in the church, without some of those problems, this building would not exist. And some of the people that are here now would not be attending church anywhere. Why are you here today? Because God is in you. And he has prompted you to be here today. Your choice. No one called you this morning and said, get to church. You came here on your own choice. God prompted you to do that. And when God is in something, that's huge. You can't stop it. And it's the best and most important reality that we have in the church today. For God to be with us. God has plans, as I said, and they will happen, and you have a lot to be excited about. Our patriarch last Wednesday said that there's a great revival coming, and I've never heard the word revival used with the church, but it is a generating type of word that makes energy come forth. A great revival, he called it, on the edge of a new day. That is coming soon. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for the church. One of our themes for this month at this school is making good use of our talents. Now, in the story we read in the scripture about talents, it refers to money. But when you read that, you can't help but think that it also refers to talent, things that we can do. And everyone in here has talents. And you say to yourself, how can that be? I don't really have any talents. I don't do anything really for the church that much. I give to the church. I support the activities. I come to services. I enjoy being here with the folks, but that's about it. And I don't really witness to anybody, and I don't really hand out any brochures, and I don't talk in groups about my beliefs. What talents do I have? Well, you, and at a particular moment when it's right there with you that you should say something about it, and you don't, then that talent is the one talent from the Scriptures that gets buried in the ground and it doesn't do anything. And if we remember the story, when the owner of those talents came back, he was the hardest on the one that just took the talents and put it away, didn't do anything with them. He was really happy with those who had talents, and they made them double. They learned how to do more things. And we are challenged to be that way. We all have talents. And we need to use those talents to the best of our ability, and God will help us. Now, beloved, what does any of this have to do with Mother's Day? I have said nothing about moms. And where do I go from here? I remember the big hats. Do you remember the big hats? I remember one time being on a business trip in Boston, and the elevator door opened. This was in the early 70s. The elevator door opened, and there were three women on the elevator. There was room for about 10, but you couldn't get anybody else on that elevator because of their hats. And if you weren't careful, you were going to get on the side of the face by one of those hats. I remember those hats. And I remember my mother never really had one like that, but she had a little, I don't know what you'd call it, some kind of a little thing that went on the head, like a little cap or something like that. And she loved those things. And my dad got one for her every Easter, a different one. And I don't remember seeing the old ones laying around. I don't know if she just got rid of them or gave them to somebody else, but she always had a new hat for Easter. What does God have in mind for our moms? And the answer is simple. God has a plan for them, just as he has a plan for each of us, a plan for all of his creation. When Zacharias and Elizabeth found out that they were going to have a baby, pretty shocking. Pretty shocking for them. They were old. They didn't know that John was going to come along and how important John was going to be. And John had God in him just glowing. He had a big plan for John. Just imagine. Can you imagine? Even being there, standing on the bank, watching Christ being baptized by John. And maybe not fully understanding who Christ was. But John knew. John knew exactly who it was. Can you imagine for a second being John and baptizing Christ, the Christ, baptizing him? I'm overwhelmed by that because those people had everything with them. They had God with them, and yet they didn't fully understand it. Mary and Elizabeth knew that when their children were born, they were special, and their responsibility as a mother was pushed up several notches. God was in it. And it was part of the plan. And not one of God's creation can change that. The anonymous author once wrote this, and I found it rather simple but kind of profound. Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children. I had to think about that for a while. And Moses knew that it was a commandment to honor our fathers and our mothers. Think about that. It was one of those 10 big things that Moses brought down on those tablets. And it said, honor thy father and mother. And it's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And it's still in vogue. It's supposed to be there. God knew exactly what he was doing. On this particular day we have today, we set it aside to honor our mothers. On this day, more flowers or more phone calls are made than at any other time of the year on this one day. I want you to think about this for just a second. We have Christmas. We have Easter. We have Mother's Day, Father's Day, we have all of these days, and the card companies are pretty happy about that. But on what day should we forget that Jesus was born? What day? The day after Christmas? And what day should we think about Christ coming out of the tomb? Just that one day? Yeah, the tomb's empty on today. Tomorrow, I don't know. I'm not thinking about that tomorrow. There's another date down the road coming. I've got to think about that. When God said through Moses to honor our mothers, He didn't just mean that day. He meant every day. And so the commandments don't just apply to one day. Oh, it's nice to remind some folks that these things are happening, but to me they're rather silly. Because we should do these things every day and always be aware of them and think about them. That these days, our mothers, as we honor them today, are just as precious tomorrow as they are today or yesterday. There's no difference. After my mom passed away, it took me several months, maybe even over a year, to stop picking up the phone to call her back in Illinois just to talk, which we always did. It was overwhelming for me because I just couldn't get that out of my mind. It took several times for me to do that before I finally gave up on it, knowing that I couldn't talk to her right now. I read a quote once that was written by Mark Twain, and I was always bothered by this because my brother and I were terrible with my mom. We were always playing practical jokes on her. And this is what Mark Twain wrote about his mother. He said, "My mother had a great deal of trouble with us, but I think she enjoyed it." Brothers and sisters, I have peace about this because I expect to see her smile and the welcoming smile of my mother at some future date. Today and every day, the commandments are telling us to honor our mother. It's an admonition that we have received from our Heavenly Father. And how can this be? How can this be for us? We say thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing this child today, all because of you, these things can be. This is, of all the things that I looked at that I wanted to share with you today, this is the one that I hope you'll think about because I think it's so true. And I'm going to close with this, but I think it's overwhelmingly profound. With all the turmoil in the world today, one person, who is an unknown writer, gave the following simple meaning and profound statement. Here's what they said. "We can stop all wars and all needless loss of life for our sons and daughters. All we have to do is arrange for a meeting to discover a solution with mothers from all nations." Think about it. I think they could do it. Now, I don't know in this world whether it's going to be possible, but the mothers of this world have suffered greatly the loss of their children due to war. And it's like anything else that you want to change. If you want to find out how to change it, you've got to go talk to the people that are involved, that are working at it every day, and that are thinking about it every day. And every moment of our life that we pray about our families, and we should be doing that probably more than just once a day. We should be doing that often. We should always pray for the safety and protection of our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if that applies. Today is a wonderful day. It's a day that brings back a lot of memories. And I'm going to break my own rule here. I'm going to tell one more story on my mother. then I promise I'm going to sit down. My mother had a very difficult life. She had there were a lot of problems that happened, not only with her marriages, but with her children, some of them. And she had a lot of difficulties, and she struggled through them, but she always held fast. She was so demanding that she adhered to the principles of the church, which she really didn't fully understand all that well. Because when she couldn't get a ride to our church on Sunday morning on the day I was going to be blessed, she took me to a Baptist church and got me blessed there. I didn't know this till about a year ago. But she did what she thought was right. She wanted it to happen because she knew that the Lord wanted it to happen, and to her it didn't make that much difference as to who actually was doing the blessing. My mother has left an impression upon me, and I know that every mother that we give a chance does the same for us. We have mothers here in the room that have children, and some of you have great-grandchildren, and there are some of you in the room who have mothers in different locations around the world, even, or around the country. And that's where the phone calls come in today if you haven't already made that call. But my mom was dedicated to her family and to helping us get through some pretty tough situations. And I'll never forget her for that. Today is a wonderful day. Enjoy Mom, and don't stop enjoying it tomorrow, okay? Because we're all together as long as we can be together, and enjoy all that time together as family, especially those who have a deep and abiding love in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's my prayer this morning. Amen.
Thank you for that, Paul. Appreciate that. Let us close our service with hymn number 472. Hymn number 472.